Such a small town, virtually a village, but 200-300 people. And I think part of it is a sense of the need for a place for us to be in the midst of all that happens around us. When I was a child, said, why can't your kids be careful? She just was trying to say something to say something. But for whatever reason, when the child's logic, I decided maybe it was my fault for not being careful. But for 30 years, I never told anyone about what happened. Talk about what happened, and I would just remain silent and see and remember the violence. But about that time, I started going to a church nearby. It wasn't for a very profound reason. It was my brother's church, so we went to that church, and it was Norwegian, and my father said, go to a Norwegian church. And they provided a sense of home. Sense of peace, a village, a place to come home to in the love of God. And it's kind of like that. God doesn't want us alone with the difficult memories. Some of them that rightly or wrongly we feel shameful. And some that are just so painful we don't even quite know how to remember them. Maybe they're good, but not. And so he creates a home for us, and I think Bethlehem is a symbol of that. The house of my first church was in a little country town, not much bigger than Bethlehem, but there were four churches. Spoke to their unity. But the thing I most, one of the things I remember about it is how these covered their suppers. And it always had good bread. So I would smell the bread and feel at home. I never smelled some food, maybe that your mom designed to say, "Bill, you are small among the clans. I'm in a squirt." When I was a kid, I was short. Surprise. But God helped everyone who reminded me of that. And sometimes when you're short, you're trying to prove something. But I think God chose Bethlehem because of its seemingly insignificance. Did you ever feel insignificant in the flow of the world? You're not better than your company, or maybe you don't have a job. Or maybe what you used to do, you don't do it anymore. Maybe kids moved away. Kids should never move away. Just kidding. But you have this sense of insignificance that comes in. It comes upon you. I think it is in this sense of insignificance that we can draw near to God. And much of life is finding the significance of the seemingly insignificant. Finding that group of people coming together to find God there. I got a letter this morning just before worship. And it's from a good buddy. It's John Albert. And John and I worked in Pennsylvania together. And he was a Vietnam veteran. And very much the worst of the fighting. And very much the worst of the fighting. And he got a couple medals, including a Purple Heart. And he misses some fingers from his hand because of when a bomb blew off it. Took his fingers and his bite. And so he was very much acquainted with that, and then eventually found a wonderful woman who he married and had this tiny little place that they lived. And then they had two children, and it was tiny before they had two children, and it was tinier with two energetic children. And when Christmas rolled around one year, his wife realized that they didn't have a place to hang the stockings. And she wanted to do that. So they went to one of these stores and they bought a cardboard fireplace. Very similar to us. And they took a long extension cord and they bought one of these. You don't always remember this, but they used to have red bulbs in a spinning light that would create a sense of fire. And he said it made it look like the fire was roaring. And they put the kid's stocking on the cardboard fireplace. And they turned the light on and the spinner. And they would draw and feel warm in their home. Well, as the kids grew bigger, eventually they just had to get a bigger place. And so he worked all sorts of jobs and saved up and they did everything. And finally, they bought a bigger home. And he said that she wanted more space. He calls her the boss. The boss wanted more space. And he said, "I want a real fireplace." And guys will understand it's a garage. So they got this, they moved into the new home, and he said how wonderfully the boss decorated the home. It was just perfect. And it was Christmas Eve, and they had the real fireplace, and he was feeling very good. And then he said, something was missing. And he didn't want to spoil it for the rest. So his wife said, "I want you to do some work." And he likes to do work, and she likes to get him out and do it more. So So when it came home, she said, "Come on in." And in the courtyard of her home, not far from the fireplace, was a cardboard fireplace. And the light was spinning. And he said he sat down with his wife, and they embraced with the warmth of it. Our memories with God are like that. We embrace the love of God that embraces us. Takes that which seems insignificant, we see when God is in it, and God's love is in us for each other. It goes beyond that. And the scripture says, out of this kind of love, one will be a ruler over Israel whose origins are from old, from ancient times, and literally before time existed. God was thinking of you. God was remembering you. And the problem didn't add up to a paper fireplace in the context of creation. But in the eyes of God, something special was done. And you will stand and shepherd a flock in the strength of the Lord and the majesty of the name of the Lord is God, and they will live securely. There's a peace in all of it. They will live securely. For then his greatness will reach the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace. It's not just to bring the peace like ending a war. The peace is the presence of God. The peace is the presence of God. As we look at Isaiah, even I'm like a cardboard fireplace. Micah goes on in the next chapter, and he says, the Lord has shown you what's required of you. It says, oh, mortal. In Hebrew, it's just like, Adam. Oh, you mortal people. The Lord has shown you, mortal, what is good. Good in your life, the Messiah. And what does the Lord require of you? Actually, in Hebrew, what does the Lord demand of you? And it is to act justly. It is to treat people fairly as you would be treated. It's not to judge others, but to act justly. To seek God's ways. To seek ways for people to be safe and secure and to protect, to act justly. And then it goes on and says to act justly and to love mercy. And what we see, this interesting tension is always there between justice and mercy. And it doesn't just say show mercy. It says, but to love mercy. It shouldn't be hard when you realize how much mercy each of us have received. I mean, it's not hard for me because without mercy, I don't want to think about it. And so we love mercy and we show mercy even as we apply justice. And Napoleon had a mother come to him and she pleaded for her son who had done something wrong that required his death. And she said, I plead for mercy. And Napoleon said, he doesn't deserve it. And the mother said, that's why I asked for mercy. Because mercy is not about deserving it. It's about receiving it. When we receive this mercy, you know when tragedies happen, like Newtown and whatnot, I was counseled a father and his son in Virginia after his wife had been killed in a school shooting. Said darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. And as we're trying to get this balance between justice and mercy, we realize that it's in the person, our Lord Jesus Christ. And it says, and to walk humbly with your God. To walk humbly with God is to never walk alone. And if we walk with Him in our successes and our failures, when we walk with Him in our memories, whether they be shameful or celebrative, we are at home with Him. And He is at home with us. And He gives us the balance we don't have. Can you imagine walking with God? I suppose you could see it. I would be embarrassed to be in His presence. Throughout the scriptures, when people come into His presence, they fall down on their knees, they cover their eyes, until Jesus comes, and He comes in such humility. Not to prove anything, but to love you. And in that presence of love, we cannot help but walk humbly. I have received gifts of love. And when I receive them in the context God I walk humbly with. I don't boast of the gift. I celebrate its recognition of the presence of